Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to it. It's a Bronco Reaction Monday. After another victory, 2-0, tied with the Raiders atop the AFC West, looking down at the Chargers and Mahomes and the Chiefs. I always say it's always been my experience based around here for the last 20-plus years that everyone's always in a good mood after a Broncos win, but I guess I'm going to have to start questioning that,
right,
Mark.
You're going to beg to differ right
Man,
now?
Man, look
right?
at this on the text line. I'm just... Okay, this here we go. Yay, we beat two of the worst teams in the NFL. Shocking that stinks trying to pump up how great Jacksonville is. Why does Tom McMahon still have his job? 2 of 11 on third down against a team that was dreadful against the Texans. He's better than Drew, but this will not fly when real teams show up.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah, the Broncos won. However, did you see how many times Jacksonville dropped a pass and was wide open and no one was covering him? It was the Jaguars who kept shooting themselves in the foot, nothing that the Broncos did. I have seen no reason to believe that the Broncos could stop Vegas, let alone KC. Come on. This is amazing to me. After all the bad football that we've watched for the last handful of years, all the losing to teams that they were supposed to beat, all the losing to bad teams, and now they're winning, albeit against below average teams, but they're still winning.
Right.
And now, after 5 years of just bad football, now all of a sudden we're back to nitpicking wins? Whew. Okay.
I get that the teams, let me ask you this. And I think some of this is you don't have a young quarterback that you're excited about in the developmental process. And some of this is there's a ceiling on Teddy Bridgewater because that's what you've heard your whole life about Teddy Bridgewater. And we're not developing Drew. And some of this is just people who wanted to see Drew Lock get the opportunity. He had an opportunity. He couldn't beat out Teddy. And I feel like that's where a lot of this stems from. Like, there's not hope in the future. We played two bad teams. Hey, man, New Orleans played a Green Bay team that was supposed to be really good, whipped them, then came into Carolina, a team that's supposed to be below average, and got whipped. Like, it's hard to get wins. Let me ask you this. Where do you think you'd be right now if Drew Lock was a starting quarterback?
Ooh, good question. Good question. I still think they'd be 2-0. I do. Because the two wins, yes, you can look at them and you can maybe find a few things here and there where, you know, if this had happened or if that had happened.
Right.
But they still felt like pretty comfortable wins. Would they still have been comfortable wins when it was all said and done if Drew was playing? Probably not, but I still think they would have been 2-0 by virtue of being just better than the other two teams.
Well, I understand that, and that makes a lot of sense to me. In the same, Mike, I would tell you, in that Giants game, they're down 7-3 on their own 49-yard line with 2 minutes and change left. And the Giants had put together a couple of decent drives, you know, or at least one decent drive. You think that Vic Fangio with Drew Lock is going for it on fourth down and one in that situation? You think they're punting? The 4th and 2. Like, I don't think they go for it. And that's where the Broncos ended up scoring. going up 10-7, and then getting the ball out of halftime, driving the length of the field, and scoring again, and basically putting it at 17-7, and then it became a little bit out of hand. I don't think those two things happen. And so I agree with you. I think they probably win both of those games because I think they're better. But then I think you're talking about, hey, a 17-13 win in week one. And I think you're talking about maybe, you know, maybe a, you know, a, still a 23-13. Like, yeah. Maybe it's the same here in week two.
Still think they would have been 2-0, but don't get me wrong. They did. They made the right choice.
Right.
They made the right choice.
So you're saying you were wrong.
I'm saying you were right. They made the right choice.
Yes. Okay.
Good. They made the right choice. I still think they'd be 2-0 with Drew, but they made the right choice. One last thing for all the negativity out there. Had the Broncos done what so many of you wanted to do and draft Justin Fields, explain this to me. If Justin Fields had started the season 2-0 against these same teams and completed 77% of his passes and was averaging about 300 yards passing per game, 4 touchdowns, no picks, this text line would be jam-packed with, we've got our guy for the next 20 years.
Right.
Step aside, Justin Herbert. Yeah. We now have the second-best quarterback
100%
in the division.
There would be,
without any question.
Mike, there would be no, well, look at who we played. It was garbage.
Nope.
There would be none of that.
None of that.
None of it.
None of that. Agendas. Seeing the agendas. Okay. Coming up next, after saying all that, is there reason to say this game should not have been as close as it ended up being? Why didn't the Broncos win more convincingly? That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Thanks. I'll give credit to this texter. This might be one of the most descriptive texts we've ever received. It reads, as a sporting man, the Broncos being 3-0 against these teams feels like trophy hunting an animal tied to a tree and still mounting it on my wall.
Who cares?
Wow. Yeah, how would you feel if you lost?
To the point of some people not being happy or impressed with this win, should it have been more convincing? And the fact that it wasn't, does that give you pause? Because if you look at a couple things, and Jay Feely was on the call, leave it to a special teams guy to point out the special team stuff. Josh Lambeau, the kicker for Jacksonville, had been 42 of 42 on field goals in Jacksonville, 71 for 75 on field goals in his Jacksonville career. He misses one field goal from 52 yards. That would have made it 10 to 3.
Correct.
Jacksonville. And then he missed another one right near the end of the first half that would have made it 10 to 10. So, you know, when you think about a guy that's normally reliable.
13-10, right? If he'd have made it, it'd have been 10-3.
Oh, on top of the other
right,
one. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying even in the situation
I got you.
With the field goal. So you would be. You know, if you're Urban Meyer, you're Jacksonville, you'd be able to say, if your kicker makes even one of the two, you're like, hey, guys, we didn't play our best game, our best half of football, and it's still 10-10 at the half.
Yeah.
I still think the Broncos still would have established themselves and gone on to win the football game.
Sure.
But was it not convincing enough? Should it have been more convincing?
Yeah, I mean, So even if you score, even if it's 30, let's say they kick those two field goals, then they score one late, you know, and Jacksonville doesn't get the return. Okay, let's say that happens. So at the end of the day, it's 30-7. Is that enough stop points for you? Or no? Because like you said, if it was Fields doing this, by the way, did you see Fields play yesterday? That wasn't anything to write home about. But if it was Fields doing this, you wouldn't need style points. You wouldn't care that it was against the Giants and the Jaguars. You'd be like, this is awesome. We're on our way. You know, we're win them all. That's where you'd be. So it is kind of amazing to watch the Chicken Little, sky is falling, doom and gloom. You're 2-0. You're on top of the division. I promise you Kansas City wishes they were 2-0. The Chargers wish they were 2-0.
This text, Teddy's still the fourth best quarterback in the division.
Yes.
Okay. If you drafted Justin Fields or Squishy Mac, you'd still have the fourth best quarterback in the division.
Correct. But you know what we don't have? You know what we don't have, Mike? The fourth best defense in the division. We have the best defense in the division. Let me say it again. We have the best defense in the division. And this goes right back to building your roster. Giving yourself the best opportunity to win a football game based upon the roster that you've developed. So, hey, listen. You know, I agree. Fourth best quarterback in the division. But we don't have the fourth best roster in the division.
People are negative because of the Broncos' past performance and all the hype from this station about the Broncos going to the playoffs after beating two of the worst teams in the NFL. Long season, guys.
Okay, well, that's...
Yeah, let's stop that right in its tracks.
Right.
Who's
you picked them to win 8 games, right?
Yeah, I had them 8-9.
Yeah, I had them 9-8.
9-8.
I think most every person on this station had them right in that 8-9, 9-8 window.
A few outliers, a few pick 10, but...
And a few pick 7 or whatever. Yeah. But we're right there in the middle of the pack with everybody. So, you know, I'd pump the brakes on our station. If anything, our station is the only station in town that actually creates an honest narrative about where they are. I mean, you listen to us and you know you're getting it straight, no chaser. We're just going to tell you how it is. You know, I think that is, like, that's a very convenient excuse from, you know, the people that don't want to praise them, that are upset because, you know, of the way the draft worked out. We didn't get the future quarterback and we want to, I'm telling you, it's just the way it is. Your feelings got to, you know what, Monday is for you? It's time to nurse your hurt feelings.
This texter, 2-0 with Teddy. We'd be 1-1 with Drew. We'd be 0-2 with Paxton. Well, you might be right about that.
Yeah.
So for all of you who are not satisfied with 2-0, look at the bright side. If Paxton was here, they'd be 0-2.
That's right.
Then what would you be saying?
Well, then you'd be looking at next year's draft. You start being a draft scout in your basement.
Day number 2296. So we hit 3,000 on Friday.
Yeah. 2296. 3,000, only 4 days away, people.
All right. Four down territory is coming your way. We'll go around the division and tell you why we need to stop talking about Justin Herbert as the second best quarterback in this division. Because he's not.
Yeah.
That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I want Mason Glory help.
This
is Four Down territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Where does Lawrence go here on 3rd and 6? Lawrence buried Von Miller. And already his 3rd sack of the young season.
I was just joking, kind of.
Man, Von looks great. Great. I know that the overreaction jumped the gun. Hey, let's give Teddy Bridgewater a new contract. Talk has already begun. I'd rather talk about whether or not they need to redo something with Vaughn here. In the last year of his deal.
Yeah, I mean, let's see how Vaughn looks come week 8. But Vaughn, and I told you.
Well,
man,
maybe put it this way. If you had to do a new deal right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is coming from somebody who reminded me that today's the 4-year anniversary of you saying pay Trevor Siemian.
I don't know. It's a 4-year.
Getting cleats on the grass.
7 years, $59 million or so. But if you had to jump the gun and say, you know what? I'm going to buy low, you know, while the getting's good. Would it be Bridgewater or Vaughn?
Oh, it depends on how buy low you're talking about.
The nature of the positions and the age would be that you'd be able to get Vaughn cheaper.
Let me ask you this. What if you could legitimately get Teddy on a deal? Let's call it 3 years, and let's say it averages out to a good.
You got to start 20.
Yeah.
Basically, 3 years, $60 to $65 million. Would you do it? Have you seen enough?
See, it would be interesting to me, Mike, because with the thought process of almost a Jimmy Garoppolo situation, like hey Trey, this is Jimmy Garoppolo. San Francisco is Jimmy Garoppolo's team. Clearly, Trey Lance is a backup. Trey Lance will be a backup unless injury. He's going to be a backup all season long. That's what he's there to do right now. So if that were the case, saying, hey, we're going to draft a guy high that we believe is going to become a great player, but we're going to groom that guy. Well, that's a great question, Mike. It is a great. I don't know that Von Miller is going to give you a hometown discount.
No.
Like, he wants to go get the one big contract. I almost lean toward Teddy saying, even if you play him this year, you play him next year, grooming a young guy, see how that young guy comes along, and you have, you know, I mean, it's an NFL contract, so you have some outs, right? I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Next in 4-down territory.
Second down.
Jackson sets in the shotgun, takes the snap, runs to the left. He's got a gap. He's got a first down. And with
that's how you
left
win
to
a football
play,
game.
The Hayes in the barn
that's
for the
how you
first
win a football
time
game.
In 2021. We got a Jackson 5.
Now you're shut up. And you're, like, that's your
caller analyst.
Right, shut up. That's your call right there, man. You're a big go.
Oh, that's right. That I would.
I can see the. I can see I would, the ire in your forehead.
I throw hands with that guy.
Whoa.
Yep. I tell him, look, you gotta shut up. Let me finish my call before you start talking about hay in the barn and all that stuff.
My call.
Okay, so Baltimore beats the Chiefs 36-35. Fantastic game last night on Sunday Night Football. Lamar Jackson. I mean, really, this guy is the most valuable player in the league, because where would the Ravens be without him? The guy, 18 of 26 for 239 yards passing, 16 carries for 107 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
They are the most uniquely built football team.
Right?
And how about John Harbaugh? Hey, Lamar, you want to go for it? Most critical call of the game. Yeah. All right, let's do it. Like, that's why guys love John Harbaugh. They love him. I mean, they absolutely, he's hard-nosed. He's tough. He's fair. He communicates well with his players. Chiefs in two games have given up 29 and 35 points. Legitimate concerns about their defense?
Sure, of course. Of course.
After they got picked apart in the Super Bowl as well?
Yeah. Of course there's legitimate concerns there. Hey, listen, man. I mean, if every game's going to come down to a shootout and your defense can't stop anybody, you know, if you can manage the game well, Mike, in those situations, manage the game well. You know what it comes down to? How well can you possess the ball at the end of the first half and the end of the second half? You do that, you win against the Chiefs because they're going to give up points plenty. Remember, they give up those points with two, not one, but two Tyrann Mathieu picks. I mean, one down in the red zone where he picked it on the goal line.
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
I just let his performance speak for itself. I've been clamoring about Derek Carr since I've been here, so hopefully he gets some recognition for doing what he did today. You know, he had some long drives. He was big again at the end of the game against two great defenses 2 weeks in a row, and it's a big reason why we've been able to win.
There's Chucky. I've always been a Derek Carr fan, and this guy is off to a red-hot start. As they beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, before you say, oh, the Steelers aren't any good. Steelers last week went to Buffalo and shut down Josh Allen and beat the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
So the Raiders are 2-0, and they've beaten Baltimore, who just turned around and beat Kansas City, and they beat Pittsburgh, who had beat Buffalo. How good are the Raiders?
The Raiders are good, man. I mean, you mentioned it, Derek Carr. I mean, we might as well. Derek Carr is right up there, and I've been huge on Derek Carr. Remember when I said I wanted to trade Derek Carr? I traded him straight across. What was it, Von Miller? The heartbeat? People were like, no, you can't do that. You're crazy. I have to put a Derek Carr monument on my island.
Derek Carr is the second best quarterback in this division.
Yes.
He's the second best quarterback in this division. He just went into Pittsburgh, and whatever you want to say about the Steelers, they can still play defense. And Derek Carr went 28 of 37 for 382 yards, two touchdowns, no picks.
Defensively, the other thing is defensively, like, that was their main issue last year, is personnel and having to play so complicated, like such complicated schemes on the back end and blitz schemes, because you got to make up for a lack of talent. And when you're out of position doing that, when you screw one of those up, it's not a 6 yard gain, it's a 60 yard gain. And that was their big problem last year. They seem to have solved some of those issues this season.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I'd do anything known to man.
Meanwhile, the Cowboys, in front of about 70,000 Cowboy fans in L.A. yesterday.
Jeez, they took over that place.
Beat the Chargers. Are you more surprised the Chargers lost or that the Cowboys won?
I'm not ever surprised that the Chargers lose, because the Chargers...
they do that a lot, don't
Chargers
they?
Are going to Charger.
Charger going to Charger,
Charger yeah. going to Charger. You're going to find a way to lose a game. It's just the way... It's in their nature somehow. It's what they do. But it's weird, because now they're in L.A., Mike. I always thought it was because they lived in San Diego. Right? So no matter how bad things got on the football field... You walked out of that practice facility, you just got your butt reamed by your head coach, you know, people yelling at you, and you're like, let's go down to La Jolla.
Yes.
Let's have a steak, cocktail, watch the tide roll in.
Two games, Justin Herbert averaging about 18 points per game, two touchdowns, three picks.
Mmm. You know, one of the things
I said it all summer. I said, let's just see if he can
match what he did last year, or do we see a bit of a sophomore slump?
Well,
for
one
Herbert?
Of the things I said is he had such a, like, his indoctrination into the football with Shane Steichen and Pep Hamilton, and they did such an incredible job of keeping things simple. Every read for him was simple. If this, this, if this, this. And they made it, and he excelled in it. And he's a super smart kid, so I'm not saying he can't take more on his plate, but all of a sudden you dump a lot more on your plate. There's a lot more things you have to think about. Just interesting. Interesting to see how that works.
Coming up, as promised, kind of put it off a little bit, but I do want to get to your visit with Nick Sirianni over the weekend, mm-hmm. Rock, paper, scissors, all of that, liquid cheese, plus more reaction from you on a Broncos Reaction Monday. This is Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. All right, before we go any further, I got to know, you did the Eagles and 49ers this weekend in Philly. Rock, paper, scissors. Did it happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it happened. It happened.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
And?
He whipped me. Two straight. Threw rock both times.
You threw rock both times?
No, he did. He threw scissors both times. Should have known. Should have known. Hey, listen.
Well, you did go up against a rock, paper, scissors expert.
Right. I mean, it was overmatched. But I will say this. I really like him. And it's funny, you know, the kind of the, you don't never get a second chance to make a first impression type of thing.
We're going to have systems.
He's too hyped up. Like, you get nervous, right? You're up there. You're first time head coach. You've never been a head coach at any level. Your dad was a head coach. Both of your brothers are head coaches, you know, and all of a sudden you're the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He is sharp. He is dynamic. He is energetic. And he's smart. He is smart. Got tutored by one of the great coaches in college football history, Larry Karras. He played at Mount Union. So Larry Karras went through a stretch where he won 54 straight games. They lost a game, and then he won 55 straight games. They were a national championship every year, and it's so cool to see your principles. They come from Larry Karras. He said Larry came to visit him, and I guess it must have been his first game in Atlanta. And he's on the sideline, and he says to him, he goes, it was when he was the offensive coordinator, in Indianapolis. And so he's visiting him as a play caller in Indy. He goes, where's your number 13 place? So Larry's a big believer. You'll love this about Larry Karras. It's never about your system. It's always about your players.
Nice.
And he goes, I don't want to know. So he came back to interview with Larry years earlier, and he goes, he ripped me in the interview because I was telling him about the system that I wanted to run. And he's like, it was like me talking to you. Have you not learned anything? So he goes, he comes to a game. He's the offensive coordinator, first time play caller in Indianapolis. And Larry Karras goes, let me see your play sheet. He goes, where's your number 13 plays? So right here, coach, right here. You see number 13 right here. He goes, good, good. That was T.Y. Hilton. He's like, there are certain players that run certain things better than they do other things. Put them in those positions. You know, it's a pretty simple principle, right? You're going to have your system. But he said, when you get bogged down, your system doesn't get you out of the mud. That's not what works. You know what gets you out of the mud? Your players. Guys that can play above the X's and O's.
Yep.
And yep. I really appreciated him. The issue that you get into when you run mostly a spread offense, Mike, is one, middle of the field's tighter. You don't have much space on the edges, right? You don't have a wide side of the field. This is not college football. Not that Nick is a big college football guy. I'm just saying the spread system is kind of that way. And when you run a bunch of shotgun runs, when you run – that zone read stuff. The back's on the right side. You have to run to the left. There's no front side runs in a zone read setting, in a shotgun setting. So you're already telling the defense if they run, they're running in this direction. Now, the quarterback is the counter to that, right? Because the quarterback gets out there and threatens the backside. That's what holds the backside. But still, the front side, you've got a pretty good idea of what's coming your way. And this is a big West Coast principle. That's why in the West Coast, there's so much under center stuff, because it balances you out and it makes the defense have to play everything. They can't read your mail. And in those type of offenses, the defense can read your mail.
What was the phrase that pays from your Idaho friends?
Didn't have one.
They didn't have one? That's 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I didn't have any.
Did you get liquid cheese in?
I totally forgot.
I need to remind you of these things over the weekend.
You need to.
I need to ride herd over you.
Yes, you do. I mean, so I did have. Yeah, I did have my typical, moments where, our radio show gets
into the broadcast.
Right? So who Jordan Mailata is?
No.
Jordan Mailata was in the NFL, what do they call it? There's a program for international players.
Okay.
And it's a developmental program for international players. And so basically you can – draft a guy, hide him on your roster, it doesn't count anything against your cap. He's an Australian rules football player.
Okay.
He's 6'8", 365.
Oof.
Can run. Athletic. Never played football before. He learned about football in Australia by watching The Blind Side. He's been over here for 4 years. He just signed a 4-year, $68 million contract.
Really?
He's a freak. He plays left tackle, freak of nature, and he's a really good player. Like, he's developed into it, and he never played. The first time he played football was 4 years ago.
Okay, so where are we going? What's the punchline?
So I'm, looking at the size of him, and his name is Jordan Mailata, and I go, I don't know. I go, if I had a local coffee shop, I'd have a drink named the Mailata. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the biggest drink you've ever seen.
Right.
It just fell out of my mouth. I said, hey, go, you'd need a doctor's note to order one because there'd be so much caffeine. It'd take you 2 days to drink it. The Mailata. I'll have the Mailata, please. I'm going to have to see your doctor's note. I mean, Mikey's gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
And can move. And really, he ended up giving up a late sack to Bosa.
Yeah.
He shut Bosa out.
Did he really?
Shut him out.
This week, you get Saints at New England, your first New England game.
Yes.
You sitting down with Belichick.
Me?
Oh, man, I can't wait to hear about
Bill.
That. You and Belichick.
Right.
Woo!
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
That I can't wait for.
Well, there's good.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
There's not going to be a lot. I don't think there will be a lot of information.
No, you guys are just going to be swapping NFC East stories.
I don't know.
That's just going to be a Washington Giants nostalgia fest.
Right. And I just don't know that you're going to get, like, Bill's a great guy to sit down to and talk to. My producer's done many Patriot games. He goes, he's a great guy to sit down and talk to. It'll be great. He goes, but you're not, once you start talking about the game, you're getting nothing.
Right.
Zero.
Right.
So.
And you get to talk to Squishy Mac.
Yeah.
You get to talk to Sean Payton, who you're buddies with.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston.
Yes.
All right. Should be fun. Meanwhile, the Broncos, it's a reaction Monday. Gain your reaction. A lot of good stuff on the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. And a couple guys I would just want to give a shout out to. Javonte Williams is the real deal.
Yes.
I love this kid.
Benny said it earlier, Mike. Doesn't he feel like a guy that needs 22 carries a game?
Yeah, please do not take this as a Melvin Gordon slam. I like Melvin Gordon. I think Gordon's delivered as advertised, as promised since he got here, and people just need to get over the amount of money that he's getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's obvious. Williams is the guy. The way he breaks tackles, taking what he did in the college game to the pros, he led the nation in broken tackles last year with 75.
Right.
See his running style. But the thing that impresses me is how much he understands the position at a very young age. There was a play, and this is when the game was still very much in doubt. The Broncos at this point were down still 7-3. Yeah, it was 7-3. And they're down, and they were facing a 3rd and 6. So this was like late in the second quarter. Facing a 3rd and 6 at their own 24. And Javonte Williams was in there on 3rd down, and he, terrific job of blitz pickup. Stone shortened the neck of a guy coming right up the middle. Bridgewater allowed to make the throw. 16-yard completion to Cortland Sutton. 1st down. Broncos go on to score 10-7 and never look back.
He was, yeah, he's been great. And he has been the prototypical block it for 2 and I'll get you 5. And that's, I've always felt like that's the most, when it comes to NFL running backs, that is the best quality you can have. I mean, I know we get excited about, you know, speed and guy can juke you in the hole and can do all that stuff. But my biggest quality for a running back is, you know, cover up our sins. Keep us above or beyond the chains. Keep us in front of the chains. If you can do that for us, man, that goes a long way. And you don't, like, breaking a 70-yarder for a touchdown, like, all right, so you get caught. Like, you don't have that kind of breakaway speed. So you get caught and make a 1st and goal at the 6 instead of scoring. I don't care. It'd be nice to score, don't get me wrong. But if you can consistently put us in 2nd down and 6 as opposed to 2nd down and 9, Mike, that makes such a huge difference to an offense. And that's what I see from him consistently, getting hit in the backfield for a, you know, a gain that should be 0 yards or 1 yard, and all of a sudden you're in 2nd down and 6 or 2nd down and 5. I love that about him.
Yeah.
And he's a complete football player.
The other guy that I want to give a shout out to is Tim Patrick. And when Jerry Jeudy went down, felt bad for Jeudy because no fault of his own. And the guy worked his butt off during the offseason, was having a really good camp and looked like he was poised to really have a big year and can still have a big year. But I wasn't really freaked out about it because I looked at a guy like Tim Patrick kind of waiting in the wings that I feel that a guy that is reliable, is underrated.
Right.
But a guy that, you know, hey, if I have to ask more of him, if I find myself shorthanded, he'll pick up the slack. And in 2 games, 7 catches, 76 yards, 2 touchdowns. Very reliable. Very reliable.
He's a big-time player, and he's worked himself into being a big-time player. Good for him. But you know what? The question is this, though. Are you going to owe me a steak dinner?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. No,
Yeah, of course you are.
No way.
We didn't have any caveats.
Yes, we did. Oh, yes, we did.
I don't remember.
Nice try. What are you trying to get me a reverse Simeon here? No way.
No,
we said based on good health, and I think we allowed each guy to miss a game. Okay.
One game.
Wow. Shrill.
He's missed one game.
Dogs all over the neighborhood are covering up their ears right now.
I think this is a bit of revisionist history.
Wrong. The argument was who had more yards, more catches, Cortland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy, based on good health. And if Judy's going to miss 5-6 games, the bet's null and void.
Here's what we'll do.
Null and void.
We'll take however many games the two of them play together. We'll take... Like if it's
well, then I'm ahead right now.
Well,
because the one game that Jeudy and Sutton played together, Jeudy had better numbers.
No, however many games they play, not together, but how many games play? Meaning, if Judy plays, let's say Judy plays, ends up playing 10 games.
Right.
We'll take his 10 best performances or 8 best performances, and we'll take Courtland Sutton's 8 best performances, and that's, and we'll see who has more numbers. It'll be the same number of games. Same number of games, and we'll just tally it up.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you don't need to go all dog whistle like that.
I thought you were trying to change the bet.
Every once in a while.
I want my steak dinner. I might have you and Mike.
Hey,
I might have you and D-Max, well, D-Max both
still,
take me.
Well, he still
and
owes
I'll
you.
And I'll eat 2 steak
well,
dinner.
He still owes you.
Yeah.
I'm a man of my word. Look at this tattoo. I have the tattoo to prove it.
Yeah, that is true.
All right?
That is true.
I will follow through on my bets. Stupid bet. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.